We're doing Jewish history. We were discussing Ezra, Sofer, Ezra the scribe. And the Talmud tells us they had a tradition that Ezra made 10 institutions. The truth is he made more. But the Talmud gives us a number 10. Ezra instituted that on Monday and Thursday we read from the Torah. Ezra instituted that on Monday and Thursday the courts convene. On Monday and Thursday people would get together into the main town, and this way they would read from the Torah, and if they had court cases they would go on there. It became market day on Monday and Thursday. Ezra instituted that on Friday the women should get up early and bake bread. This way they weren't baking bread in the last minute, and the poor would have who to buy bread from. Ezra instituted that women would wear an undergarment. Women used to wear a robe with nothing under it. So Ezra instituted that they should wear something under it. Ezra instituted that women should cleanse themselves, what's called chafifa, prior to going to mikveh, which has two effects. Number one, when she goes to mikveh, there's nothing stuck to her. And when we know that when a person immerses in mikveh, if there's a chatzitza, if there's something on her, if she has hairs tied, then her mikveh dunking is disqualified. But it also accomplishes that when she gets home and the couple can be together again, she will be in a more savory, presentable state. Otherwise, a woman can go to a mikveh, and in those days, their mikvahot were stagnant water. They did not impart such a great smell. You went in, you went out, you wanted to cleanse yourself after the mikveh. So at least Ezra ensured that they cleansed themselves before in preparation for the mikveh. Ezra instituted that merchants would go around and sell jewelry, so that women would dress nicely, because we read in the book of Ezra, it's part of Tanakh, right? In Jewish tradition, there's one book, Ezra. Even though midway through the book, Nehemiah takes over and he narrates the story, our tradition is that it's one book, that it's not divided into two. The Christians divided it into Ezra and Nehemiah. But our tradition is that it's one work. It's the book of Ezra. And again, there's... In the middle, Nehemiah takes over and he tells the story. The Chidah writes that Nehemiah was punished, and that's why he didn't get to have his own book. He's like swallowed into Ezra's book. But that's how we end up with 24 books of Tanakh, because Ezra is one book. The book of Melachim, Kings, is one book. The book of Shmuel is one book. That's the way it was, till the Christians did it differently. And for whatever reason, I really don't know why, the printers adopted the Christian version. The Jewish printers print Tanakh with the Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis. But Ezra, we find in the book of Ezra, when he ascended to Israel, he had a few challenges. Number one, there were the Samaritans, the Shomronim, people who lived in Samaria and Shomron, and they claimed they were the real Jews, and they made a lot of trouble. They even tried to kill Ezra and Nehemiah. Number two, he found the Jews had intermarried. It's recorded that when he came, they came to him on Rosh Hashanah, and the leader said, you know, everyone intermarried here. We have a lot of non-Jewish wives and non-Jewish children. So Ezra was able to get them to divorce and marry Jewish women. And you read it and it's mind-boggling. What's going on here? How do you do such a thing? But Ezra was a powerhouse. And Ezra had the Persian king backing him. And so Ezra, it would seem, tackled the problem at its root. He ensured that the Jewish women would be beautiful. He had merchants going around and selling. This was an institution, a rabbinic institution, that merchants would sell wares, beauty, cosmetics, what women need in order to be beautiful. This is an important concept in present times as well. If a woman wants to wear a sheitel, a wig, so even though you might say the spirit of the law is you're better off with a bandana or whatever you call those kerchiefs that women wear, but there's also a very important point that her husband should find her attractive. So she should. It's not a bad thing if she wants to wear a wig when her husband comes home. That's okay. But if she's going to be filthy when he comes home and wear the wig to go out to see everyone else, that's not exactly the spirit of the law, right? But again, halachically, it's okay. A woman's allowed to wear a wig. But this was Ezra's institution, to make sure that the women the Jewish women would also look good. Yes, sir?
Yeah, you said Ezra was a powerhouse, so that includes that he had the power of rebuke then?
Oh yeah, we learned from Ezra how far a court can go.
Okay.
Ezra said, if you don't listen, we're pulling your hair out.
Wow. Okay.
Ezra, from Ezra, we learn the concept of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, that if a person gets Bezdin upset, Bezdin could take his assets and nullify them, to make them not his anymore. We learn that from Ezra. Ezra had a very powerful court. Now, Ezra made Judaism what we know today. He saved the day, because we were on the brink. We were lost. People were intermarrying. People were doing business on Shabbos. Ezra said, you can't do business on Shabbos. They said, here's the Torah. Where does it say you can't do business on Shabbos? So Ezra said, okay, new rabbinic institution. No using any tools on Shabbos. Eat with your hands. You can't use forks either. No forks, no knives, no tools, no measuring, no business. And not only can't you touch money, you can't touch any tool. And when people got it through their heads that they can't do business on Shabbos, they closed their shops, then he lessened it. And then over time, it became the muktzah we have today. We use forks, we use knives, we use spoons. We don't use a pitchfork on Shabbos, right? We don't walk around with our cell phone in our pocket, and our pen is muktzah. But this was an institution that began when Ezra saw the people doing business on Shabbos. Stores were open on Shabbos. The Jews in Israel were buying and selling on Shabbos. So Ezra, faced with this harsh reality, came in with the backing of the Persian king, who was actually the son of Esther, married to Ahasuerus. His own father was an intermarriage, right? His own father was an Anjou. But he backed Ezra, and Ezra had the power to make many, many institutions. And thanks to Ezra, we're around today. So we covered many of the 10 institutions Ezra made. Yes, sir? Right? We discussed that in our first class on Ezra, yeah. Yeah. Okay.